and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And boy, oh boy, it's been 1 week since we brought you an episode.
Oh my gosh. Weird.
It's like we're doing that once a week now, just in case you forgot. We're just started listening to
What if they're
right
trying
now
to forget and then we're bringing up terrible memories for them, Miranda? Maybe they like to live in denial.
Well, deal with it. So I've recently gotten very into bento boxes. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today.
Nice.
But I wish I was good at making them, like, and wanted to spend the time, money, or effort to actually make the cute ones that you see on, like, TikTok and on YouTube and stuff. They're so cute, and they look delicious, but I don't have that kind of energy or money or time. I do have that kind of time. I just don't feel like doing it. But I do own several bento boxes, and I really like them.
Yeah.
Well, they're so much better than Tupperware because they stack together. Like, they clip together typically, or they stack together and they fit really nicely. And so all of the components are always together, and you just put them away together. And so you're not losing lids and pieces and this, that, and the other thing. And I like it so much better than a regular. Well, before I get started, I thought I'd tell you. You like that? You like that voice?
I love it. It's great.
I thought I'd let you all know that you could rate and review our podcast. Maybe leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be really nice.
Or any podcasting platform.
Or any podcasting platform.
I don't know
if
why
they
I
have
keep
a star rating. Maybe give us a 5-star. Unless 5 stars is bad, then don't do that. But I'm pretty sure 5 stars always means good.
It usually does. Yes.
So if they have more than 5 stars, give us some more than that. Maybe if you like us. If you don't like us.
Miranda's just begging for people to like us at this point. I'm sorry.
But
we got a couple new followers on Anchor.
We did.
I'm pretty excited.
Very excited. Hi. Welcome.
Glad to have you.
Glad to have you. And so we're just going to scathe right over last week when I didn't know about the Vietnam War.
That was still the best bit that has happened on this podcast.
That's a solid minute clip, like a good solid minute clip, end to end, of the entire ramblings of me trying to explain the Vietnam War through the gaze of, or the guise of, Forrest Gump.
And then getting everything absolutely wrong.
But then also, no, that is what happens in Forrest Gump. However, but then also not knowing that we lost. The American public school system did me dirty, just saying. And I'm blaming them. It couldn't possibly have anything to do with my lack of motivation in school or anything like that.
Oh, I also got a couple new ideas for TikToks based on the fact that I keep mentioning the Cold War and you never know what I'm talking about.
Once again, I'm pretty sure I have amnesia when it comes to the Cold War. I don't know what that is. Who is she? I don't know her.
What? Can't work with
but enough of the giggles. I'll tell you what.
What do you tell me?
The unsolved disappearance of Brian Schaefer. I'm sure you've heard of this.
Oh wait, I think so. Is that I'll learn in a second.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
I'm pretty sure though. The name,
this is very widely publicized.
If you're into the morbid and spoopy.
Yeah, if you're into the morbid and spoopy and the unsolved, pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting case. It's very widely publicized. You already know that it's an unsolved disappearance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's out there already. So,
by the fact that you labeled it the disappearance of
unsolved disappearance of Brian Schaefer. So let's get into it. First of all, Brian Schaefer is not to be confused with Brian Schaefer, the baseball player.
I didn't know he was a baseball player. I think I know more about the dude that disappeared than I do about the baseball player.
I just wanted to put that out there because that was on the Wikipedia page. They're like, if you're looking for Brian Schaefer, the baseball player, he's over here. I was like, nope, not
looking
for him.
There was something weird I found on during Agent Orange when I was like researching it. It was, I can't remember. Never mind. Cut that part out. But it was very weird on Wikipedia where it was supposed to be, where I clicked on something and it took me to the page that I expected to. But then it's like, if you were looking for like the Disney something or other about this, and it had nothing to do with the topic that I actually clicked on, and I'm like, why would it redirect here?
That's strange. Yes. So it's not Brian Schaefer the baseball player. Anywho, so Brian Schaefer was a 27-year-old medical student at Ohio State University. So during his second year of medical school in 2006, his mother died of dysplasia. That was offensive, and I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Here comes Josh to pronounce this word for me.
Okay, okay. Let me see.
That's a copy and paste word. Let me see it. Okay. No, you can't read my notes.
Myelodysplasia.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. That's not really a hard word. Okay.
It looks hard. Okay. Josh was confused when he looked at it. Get out of here.
Miranda, it's okay. It's only offensive. You. It's only offensive to people who speak Latin. Anywho. So literally only doctors.
So okay. myelodysplasia, which from what I could tell is just is some kind of not just is some kind of blood cancer, I guess.
Yeah,
which
that is makes sense.
Very sad. His classmates reported that the death of his mother was hard for him. However, he seemed to be coping well. Like, apparently he seemed to be doing fine. Also, during this time, he was dating a girl named Alexis Wagner, who was also a medical student at OSU. Apparently, the relationship was going well because she and all of their friends thought Brian would propose soon, perhaps on their approaching trip to Miami for spring break. Speaking of spring break. Let's get into it.
Sorry, I'm just remembering my spring breaks in college, and I'm like, that's not exactly the romantic venture you'd think it would be.
Maybe for a
27-year-old,
Ashlyn. They're in medical school. They're not in during their bachelor's, Ashlyn.
I guess.
Okay? They're not 21.
But like
fresh
a spring
off.
Break trip to Miami.
You need to calm down. They're old people like us now.
You said 27. I just turned 27.
Yeah, they're old people.
You're the worst.
Ashlyn, are you imagining that you would have a wild spring break in Miami at this age?
Yes.
I can't imagine you ever doing anything wild ever. So. So. There's that. Let's get into it.
You have no idea how many shenanigans I've shenaned.
Ashlyn, you were just brought along for the ride. We all know.
I orchestrated it.
You're
I was
bookish one.
Actually,
let's be honest.
I have been told on multiple occasions that I'm quote unquote a fun, sober energy. This is by several different people.
Ashlyn, can you stop like tooting your own horn for a minute? God, not everything is about you. So conceited.
You're the one who said
I just want to. You're so conceited.
Would you
you're
be
so
having a while?
You're so conceited.
You're the one who brought me into this.
Oh, by the way, I made this reference a while back and I couldn't remember what it was from. You're so conceited. You're so conceited. I remember what it was from. Mm-hmm. It's from Victorious. It's from the episode where they do a ripoff of a spoof version of The Breakfast Club.
Oh, jeez.
And at some point, Robbie's just like, you're so conceited, Tori. You're so conceited. And I quote it a little too often.
Oh, that's fair. Honestly, I kind of feel a little bad for Victoria Justice because like
her character is just the worst part of that show.
The least interesting part of the show.
However, the rest of this isn't so chipper. So maybe
we should tone it down. I'm sorry.
A little bit more appropriate level here. Let's get into it. Right off the bat, you already know Brian goes missing, but we're going to talk about how the events occurred that night and then later some popular and maybe even unpopular theories as to what happened. Tropical locales were always very attractive to Brian, reportedly by his friends. Mm-hmm. He had often told his friends that despite his medical career ambitions, he really wished to start a band playing music a la Jimmy Buffett. I like the vibes.
Cheeseburger in paradise,
Cheeseburger
man.
In paradise.
And then you turn it into a good restaurant franchise. I don't know. I've never eaten there.
Neither have I. There was one in the Legends, but that one closed. No, I'm sad. Anywho. On Friday. Dang it. Back to the story. On Friday, March 31st, OSU classes ended for spring break. OSU classes ended and spring break 2006 began. Before leaving for his vacation with his friends and girlfriend, Brian first had a celebratory steak dinner with his father, Randy Schaefer. His father noted that Brian seemed exhausted from having pulled all-nighters studying for his exams.
Fair.
After the dinner, Brian was to go out with a friend known as William Clint Florence. from now on, he will be referred to as Clint. And yes, in my notes, every single time I wrote Clint, I put quotes around it.
I was about to say, how do you put air quotes?
Shut your mouth. I corrected myself. Anywho, Randy Schaefer apparently was not so thrilled about Brian going out with Clint. Don't know why, but he didn't express this to Brian at the time. He just didn't want him to go out that night. But he's 27. He can do what he wants, you know?
Yeah.
So at about 9 p.m., Brian met Clint Florence at the Ugly Tuna Saluna, which is a boppin' name for a bar.
It really is.
It was a bar in the South Campus Gateway Complex in Columbus, Ohio. Huh. So about an hour later, Brian called his girlfriend, who had gone home to Toledo to visit her family before the couple's trip to Miami in the coming week. After Brian spoke to Alexis, he and Clint went bar hopping, working their way down the arena district. And according to Clint, the two had a shot each at each establishment they visited that evening.
I believe that is called a bar crawl.
Oh, they called it bar hopping. But yes, a bar crawl would be considered, yes.
See, so I'm hip.
you're with the lingo. Anywho, after midnight, the two met Meredith Reed, who is a friend of Clint's, in the neighborhood of the North, the Short North in Columbus, Ohio. Meredith gave the boys a ride back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna, and they all began where they. Oh my God, I can't talk. I wrote these so well, and I will not follow what I wrote. Where they had begun their evening, and the trio had a couple more rounds. So here's where Brian kind of goes MIA. Not kind of, he does.
I was like, kind of.
At some point, while the trio was drinking, Brian separated from the group. When Meredith and Clint realized that he'd been gone for quite some time, the two of them called out for Brian amongst the crowded bar, but they couldn't find him. They waited for Brian at the Ugly Tuna Saluna until the bar closed at 2 a.m. when they had to leave. So they stood outside the bar and continued to wait for Brian, trying to see if he was going to come out, you know, with the rest of the patrons who were leaving. However, when they didn't see Brian amongst the bar patrons leaving, they assumed that he had just gone home to his apartment. Hmm. His apartment was only like 6 blocks away. However, Brian was, you could consider him probably pretty intoxicated by now.
Well, yes.
He's had a shot at least each establishment he's gone to. I don't know how many they actually
went to. Yeah, I was about to ask, did you know?
I didn't see that information anywhere, the exact amount of locations. But, I mean, that's a lot of shots. And then they continued to drink afterwards.
Yeah.
So,
why would you do that when you're 27? I'm just saying. The next day, that would hurt you.
I mean, he's a medical student. He's got a lot of...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
He's probably got a whole other level at this point.
Exactly. So they assumed he had gone home and, you know, didn't really worry much more about it. However, that weekend, both his girlfriend Alexis and his father Randy both tried to call him, but none of their calls were ever picked up. Then on Monday, April 3rd, Brian missed his flight to Miami with his girlfriend. And it was after that he was reported missing to Columbus police.
Mm.
So here's when we get into the investigation. So police began their search for Brian at the Ugly Tuna Saluna, mm-hmm. where he was last seen. The area around the bar was apparently not great and had a high crime rate. So the Ugly Tuna had security cameras set up. When police reviewed the surveillance footage, they saw Brian, Clint, and Meredith riding up the escalator at the bar's entrance at 1:15 a.m. Later, Brian was seen outside of the Ugly Tuna talking to two girls at 1:55 a.m.
Hmm.
In the video, Brian is seen briefly chatting with the girls, saying goodbye, and then moving off camera in the direction of the bar like to re-enter. However, the camera did not capture Brian leaving the bar when it closed shortly after 2 a.m. So in the crowd leaving on the mm-hmm. escalators, they did not catch Brian.
Weird.
Yes. So investigators were aware that Brian could have possibly maybe changed his clothes or worn a hat or something and kept his head down while exiting the bar, making it easier to miss him on the video. Also noting that one of the cameras panned the area constantly and the other was controlled manually. So they also considered that maybe Brian could have left the building via a different route. However, the building only had one other exit, which was a service door rarely used by guests. Also, that door currently opened up onto a construction site where police noted it would have been hard to navigate sober, let alone intoxicated, which we can probably safely say Brian was probably intoxicated by now.
A strong possibility.
Yeah. So now the city of Columbus, Ohio has apparently the most security cameras of any other large city in the state. So detectives working Brian's case decided to see if they could track any way Brian could have left the Ugly Tuna. However, after checking the security cameras of three nearby bars to the Ugly Tuna, they found no trace of Brian. At this point, the police decided to fan out. They had officers and police dogs and everybody fanning out and searching everywhere. They searched the streets. They searched dumpsters. They searched any other kind of waste container. They even got permission from the city to look in the sewers.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they were like, okay, we're going to look in. Maybe he fell down a manhole. Who knows?
Right.
You know, they looked in the sewers. Looking for some trace of Brian Schaefer and still found nothing.
Well, yeah, because if he was trying to disappear, he probably would have gotten rid of something of his. In
or maybe
those
even
dumpsters.
Thrown something out, but they found no trace of him. Nothing.
And the if police, he wasn't trying to disappear. Oof.
Yeah. The police began camp. We haven't even gotten into that there.
I'm sorry.
Calm down.
Miranda, I'm trying to be part of this conversation.
You don't get to be. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm in a mood. The police began canvassing the area, going and asking residents if they had seen Brian. Flyers of Brian were widely dispersed. They specifically showed pictures of Brian's tattoo because it was very identifiable. The tattoo was located on his upper right arm, and it was a stick figure logo from the cover artwork for the single Alive by Pearl Jam, which was apparently one of Brian's favorite bands. What?
Nothing.
Just, what are you going to say about Pearl Jam, Ashlyn?
Nothing.
Anywho. You just opened your mouth like you were going to say something. This is not the time to make jokes, Ashlyn. Why are you laughing?
I know. I'm sorry.
This is a very serious manner.
I'm sorry.
So, also specifically noted on the flyers was a distinctive fleck in one of Brian's irises. So he had like a really distinctive like spot in one of his eyes.
Right.
So they made sure to note that on the flyers as well. However, nothing came of this.
No one stared deeply into this man's eyes, did they?
Apparently not. He was like, Brian was also hard to miss. Okay, he was 6'2". You know?
Uh-huh.
He's not small. You know, he was 6'2", pretty like athletically built kind of thing. He was not a small guy. Would have been kind of hard to miss. He also had a very identifiable nose, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Like, he's identifiable. He's brunette kind of thing. Kind of, you know what I mean? When I say brunette, there's a lot of guys out there who are brunette, you know?
Yeah.
However, he's pretty identifiable from, like, all the pictures I've seen. Like, you always look at it and you go, that's that one guy.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I get it.
So, Brian's apartment, which was located only 6 blocks from the Ugly Tuna, was untouched. And his car was still outside. And nothing seemed amiss. The police searched miles in every direction. But no dice. Since there seemed to be no trace of Brian, the police began to think about the possibility other than foul play or accident. Since Brian's mother had recently died, police theorized that Brian possibly left to mourn his mother in solitude and would return when he felt better. However, Brian never returned.
Doesn't make sense.
Still at a loss, police asked those who had seen Brian that evening, including his father, to take lie detector tests. Meredith and Randy Schaefer passed theirs with flying colors, as well did everyone else who took one.
Mm-hmm.
However, Clint refused to take one, and we'll bring that up again later. The two women that Brian had last been seen talking to were actually later identified in 2009, 3 years later. They said that they were never asked to take any lie detector tests themselves.
Mm.
However, they weren't really identified until like 2009.
So, yeah, so. Memories can get a little fuzzy by then.
So, Alexis, Brian's girlfriend, like I said, called Brian's phone every evening before going to bed for a very long time after the disappearance.
Aww.
Every time, it went straight to voicemail. Until this one evening in September, when it actually rang 3 times. Alexis was shocked and had this to say. I kept calling it to hear it purely because it was one of the best sounds I had ever heard, even if no one picked up. Apparently, this was something she had posted on her MySpace page. However, Singular, Brian's wireless provider at the time, mm-hmm. said it may have been due to a computer glitch. However, yeah. a ping from the phone was detected at a cell tower in Hillard, about 14 miles northwest of Columbus.
Oh, wow.
From what I researched, I couldn't find anything else about this ping. Like, nobody did anything else with it, or there was, maybe nothing was found of it, so they just kind of ignored uh-huh. it. I don't know. But it's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, also, you said it was about, what, 14 days after he disappeared, or?
Months.
Oh, 14 months.
Yeah.
That's...
Not 14 months. It's been months. This is September. Okay. He went missing in April. It's been 5 months.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yes.
Incredibly... Like, why would he still have the phone, first of all? If he was trying to disappear.
Well, also, it could have been somebody found his phone. Could have yeah. been just, once again, could have but, just been a computer glitch.
But how would it have been alive?
Well, anyway. That's the thing. It could yeah. have just been a computer glitch. Maybe he turned it off. And phones back then in 2006, if you turned them off, they last forever, Ashlyn.
Yeah, that's true. Most batteries... My DS... had a battery when I That's went to true. College and I hadn't used it since middle school.
Exactly. So the police received many, many tips. However, none of them resulted in any breakthroughs. Lead singer of Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, at a concert later in that year in Cincinnati, took time between songs to ask for tips for in Brian's disappearance.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, that was really cool of him.
None of those were useful either.
Yeah.
So there were possible sightings in Michigan, Texas, and even Sweden. They were investigated.
That's
however,
a bit of a different locale.
Nothing panned out. They were investigated, yeah. but nothing panned out. Brian's father, Randy Shaver, even began his own investigation. He visited a psychic who told him Brian's body was in water near a bridge or pier.
Of course. I'm sorry. With psychics, it always feels like, yeah. you know, oh, their body in water.
I feel like
the body's 70% water, lady. You can say that would mean anything.
I fully believe that people have a gift sometimes, but certain psychics who are like, I see a body in water. It's always body in water, you know?
The thing is, it's not necessarily every psychic that's a fraud, but there's still a good portion are.
So he and Brian's brother, Derek, along with some others who had become interested in the case, bought waders and spent a lot of their free time along the shores of the Olentangy River. I'm sorry if I butchered that, but it looks like Olentangy, which flows through Columbus adjacent to the OSU campus, searching in vain for Brian's possible body near bridges and such, mm-hmm. just anywhere they could. Unfortunately, Brian was never found. They never found any evidence. Not his clothes, not his shoes, not his phone.
Jeez.
Nothing. Not him. Unfortunately, well, in September of 2008, 2 years after Brian went missing, mm-hmm. Randy Shaver died. His father.
Aww.
During a heavy windstorm, Randy Shaver was out in his yard clearing debris when a branch flew off from a nearby tree and fatally struck him.
Oh my goodness.
His neighbors found his body the next morning and called police, which is really sad.
That's
the reason I bring this
kind of horrifying.
Yeah, the reason I bring this up. His obituary ran online and a condolence book was posted, you know.
Right, right.
One of the signatures in it said, "To Dad, love Brian, U.S. Virgin Islands," suggesting Brian might have left Columbus for a new life somewhere. Mm-hmm. However, upon further investigation, the note was found to have been posted from a computer accessible to the public in Franklin County, and it was determined to be a hoax. Which, I'll tell you what,
if it
there's
was
a special place in hell for whoever yeah. posted that if it wasn't Brian.
My gosh.
How dare you?
But also, it wouldn't necessarily make sense even if it was Brian because, to suddenly come out of the woodwork to
also
say that,
Virgin Islands.
This is where I'm at.
Lie.
No,
yeah.
Like you're...
There's a special place in hell for whoever that posted that. I'm going to be honest.
Gross.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I...
At all.
Ugh.
Here, let's give some hope to like some of the people mm-hmm. who still remember him just to be a jerk.
A jerk, yeah. Don't do that, guys.
I'm trying to remain family friendly here. Rude.
Yeah. So
it's a struggle.
You remember how I said Clint refused to take a lie detector test?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after Randy Schaefer's death, Clint's lawyer, Neil Rosenberg, contacted Don Corbett, who is a private investigator, regarding his client's ongoing refusal to take a lie detector's test. Why? I don't know. Clint will not say why he refuses to take a lie detector test.
Yeah, there's however, a million reasons why people would want or wouldn't want to take one, even if they're technically innocent of what they're being interviewed of.
Well, that, and I mean, they're not fully admissible in court. Like,
we discussed that. You can say,
oh, they didn't pass a lie detector's test. Lie detector test. Why can't I say that right? But it's not really supposed to be used as evidence.
Right.
It's supposed to just be like, okay, well, we think he could be lying because he failed this lie detector test. Because there are ways to trick it or are ways to fail it on accident because you could be too nervous, you know?
Yeah. We talked a bit about that with the Scientology episode.
Exactly. So through this, however, he learned that the Columbus police were investigating the case, actually believed Brian was alive. So... And this is after his dad died in 2008. So they were pretty convinced that he was still alive 2 years later. In April of 2009, 3 years after Brian's disappearance, The Lantern, which is Ohio State University's student newspaper, disclosed the exchange. Quote, "If Brian is alive, which is what I'm led to believe after speaking with the detective involved, then it is Brian and not Clint Florence who is causing his family pain and hardship." Rosenberg wrote, "Brian should come forward and end this." Florence, he said, did not have anything to hide. He had merely told everything he knew from the beginning and did not see the value of doing so again. So despite Rosenberg's assertions,
mm-hmm.
many of those who were close to Brian have criticized Clint Florence for not being forthcoming enough. They're like, okay, but why doesn't he just take the lie detector test? It doesn't matter if you told them everything, how it happened, just do it again. You know, it's a little, they're like, at this point, why not? Why not just, you know, if you're so fed up with nobody believing you, just do it.
Because there still could be something that he doesn't necessarily want to be public knowledge.
Derek Schaefer, Brian's
even
brother.
Even if it's not illegal.
So Derek Schaefer, Brian's brother and last surviving immediate family member, recalled, quote, "As soon as the detective started getting involved, that's when he pretty much had no contact with anybody." He continues, "I've always thought he definitely knows something, just won't come forward with it." So Derek believes it is still possible that Brian is alive and that Clint knows where he may have gone. Derek also stated, quote, "If Brian did take off somewhere, if that is the case, we just always had a strong feeling that Clint would possibly know that." Alexis Wagner, Brian's girlfriend back in 2006, also thinks Florence is withholding information. However, she believes that it is most likely that her former boyfriend is dead and did not run off. She stated, quote, "I can't imagine he would have just done that." So that's pretty much all of the immediate information I have for you regarding the case. That's pretty much where it ends. They had no leads. They have no idea where he went. He literally vanished off the face of the planet.
Weird.
Isn't that so strange?
It is. I mean, I have a couple theories, but aren't we getting into theories in a minute?
Yeah. So let's get into the theories. A lot of the theories I'm going to present I found on truecrimesblog.medium.com. Mm-hmm. They just had a good compiled list of them all, so that's why I'm getting a little shout out. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll let you know which ones I buy into.
The first theory is Brian slipped out of the bar unnoticed and met with foul play. So one theory is that Brian was chatting up with the band while they were packing up and the bar was closing. The staff may have locked the bar without realizing that Brian was still there, and Brian left with the band and staff, after which point he met with foul play. And that's it.
I'm not necessarily sure that I would buy into that one, simply because, again, they checked a lot of the areas nearby. They also... places exactly. where you would dump a body or at least find some evidence of.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that.
That sort of thing.
The second theory is Brian mm-hmm. went out of the emergency exit, fell in a hole in the construction site and was covered with cement. Since Brian spent the night bar hopping and doing shots and such, it's a probably safe bet to say he was inebriated when he got back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna and yeah. continued to drink. And the only other exit, like we said, apart from the main exit, yeah. was the emergency door that led to a construction site, if you recall. Police, once again, said it would have been super difficult for Brian to get out of there sober. Not impossible. Yes. Not impossible drunk either. However, it would be very difficult to navigate that, like, period.
Right.
It was dark, chaotic, there's stuff everywhere.
Have the police commented on that theory?
Not that I could find.
Just the only reason I ask is because, like, again, it would take a certain... Oh, I'm sorry.
There's more.
Okay.
It's a dark, chaotic area. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot going on. If he had fallen on in a hole and was covered with cement, it wouldn't have been an accident. You could kind of assume that, you know? If he'd fallen in a hole, you could kind of guess that the construction workers might have noticed a body in a hole before they started pouring cement.
Yeah, but that...
Not fully... You can't fully rule that out.
Like it could be a freak accident at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, but again, do we even know, like, if there was cement pouring happening in that area?
Exactly.
You know?
So...
How many holes could he have fallen into?
Exactly.
That sort of thing. There's quite a few unknowns. So, like, if the police haven't really commented on that theory, I'm not sure how much.
So, unless you know, a crew of maybe demented killers was hired to work on the building, it's unlikely that this theory explains what happened to Brian.
Yeah, also, many construction workers probably wouldn't do that.
Like, why?
Well, because they'd run into, you know, issues like that in the first
woman,
place.
Woman, I am trying to finish.
We do not need
one
to rush
sentence,
this.
Woman. Oh my god.
I don't dog during the entire time. Let me go loose with the theories.
But Ashley, I'm trying to explain the rest of this theory and then you could talk.
You're no fun.
So many people also press that it would be nice to know if the construction crew had faced delays or had made costly mistakes that could have cost them the job or their paychecks, if, you know, desperation can make people do crazy things. That's a theory kind of thing. And if we can't And so we can't really rule out the whole construction theory as complete impossibility. However, also, Brian could have possibly fallen down some sort of shaft, and it's possible that no one saw him.
Yeah.
Once again,
that one I find more likely.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, the cops didn't, you know, say that they scoured every inch of the construction site. However, they did say it would have been hard to navigate. They also... did state quite often that they searched everywhere nearby. Mm-hmm. They searched in sewers. They searched dumpsters. So they probably searched the construction site too. I'm guessing, I mean, the construction crew could have resumed the next day and may not have seen Brian or something. And something could have happened then. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there was fresh porn cement and he could have fallen in and gotten stuck or something.
Like a quicksand situation.
Maybe a quicksand situation. Why are you laughing? This is a very serious subject.
It just... Oof.
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know how you know, cement works that well. But you never know. Another theory is that Brian never left the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Bum, bum, bum. The theory suggests... Brian accidentally died while inside the bar. Unknown causes. The staff apparently could have been worried about potential lawsuits, snuck his body out of the emergency exit, and disposed of his body somewhere. One branch of this theory, there's two branches of this theory. One branch is that the staff was able to sneak his body out with the cameras inside the bar turned off, even though the cops never mentioned anything about, you know, footage being missing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Another branch of the theory is that Brian is still inside the building somewhere, dead. That's disturbing. However, the investigators did search the Ugly Tuna high and low for Brian with police dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a no for me.
I'm just
saying. What do
you think? So, like, with both of these theories, it also requires, like, a ride or die complete staff. Like, that,
right?
That's the thing. Like, I'm like, no one cracked. No one said anything. Paying like minimum wage to some people.
No bar job is worth that. You know?
Like, oh man, none of us are going down for this. Come on, we gotta be in lockstep.
Rally
like,
together, guys.
I'm sorry. I have had jobs.
No job is worth and I would worth that. No job, period, is worth that.
Well, and also, at least one person would be saying, you know, maybe we should go to the police with this because it was an accident.
Becky, you get together or the same thing will happen to you.
But it was an accident.
Becky, you get it together.
Maybe they'll know.
Becky, you want to end up in the wall too?
I'm just a bus boy here.
Becky! You
want to
end up in the wall? You want to end up in the wall? That's how you end up in a wall, Becky.
Again,
get it together.
It seems unlikely simply because
that does. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Like, well, and also, like bars in and of themselves, like have at least like managers and owners should have a working knowledge of like you know what they are liable for in the bar versus others because there's such things like bar fights, things like that where someone could wind up injured or dead.
Maybe they were worried about getting you know knocked for over-serving or something. It's a bar.
Yeah.
You're kind of expecting that at this
point. Yeah, and so...
And that's like a fine. That's not...
Well, there's fines and then there's like policies that bars often put in place to like protect themselves from that.
So, yeah.
It seems
now,
unlikely.
This next theory is probably the most popular theory. Mm-hmm. And this is the one I've definitely heard about. I mean, the other ones I've heard about like, you know, little blips. But this one I've definitely heard about. The theory that Brian could have possibly been a victim of the smiley faced killer.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that was around the same time.
So the smiley faced killer was never officially deemed an actual serial killer or group. Mm-hmm. However, the theory of the smiley faced killer was recognized by retired New York City detectives Kevin Gannon and Anthony Duarte.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Lee Gilbertson, a criminal justice professor and gang expert at St. Cloud State University.
Mm-hmm.
So they allege that a number of young men found dead in bodies of water across several Midwestern American states from the late 1990s to the 2010s did not accidentally drown, as concluded by law enforcement agencies like they thought, but they were actually victims of a serial killer or killers.
Right.
The name Smiley Face came from the fact that near many of the recovered bodies, there was a graffitied smiley face somewhere nearby. According to the trio, all of the victims could have been seen as privileged. Mm-hmm. I guess all of them came from kind of well-to-do. And it's safe to say that Brian could have been seen as some sort of fitting this description.
Mm-hmm.
He was young, tall, good-looking, a medical student, you know. And so they think that, you know, he could have possibly matched the victimology. However, there's no solid proof that the smiley face killer or killers ever existed. Like,
well,
no solid proof.
Well, hang on. Let me double check to make sure that I'm talking about the right thing. Because there was a podcast, actually, about the daughter of someone who was presumed to be, I believe, the smiley face killer. So let me
double check that. Because that's not what I found.
Let me double check that.
Because even on Wikipedia, it's known, like when you look it up on Wikipedia, it's called smiley face killer theory.
Mm.
Like it's never called the smiley face killer.
Where is it? Oh, I'm sorry. It's the happy face.
Yeah, that's different.
Killer. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So if he had met with foul play with someone outside the bar or a group of people, I personally think... someone would have noticed, seeing as there was a lot of people nearby at bars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or it probably would have been caught on one of the nearby security cameras. Once again, like I said, he just vanished.
Right.
Lastly, I mean, it is possible that Brian could have slipped off and started a new life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe by the beach, became Jimmy Buffett. And I hope, honestly, that that's what he's doing.
I have an alternative theory.
Okay, give it to me.
So, and it would also tie in why Clint wouldn't want to talk about that night.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised none of these theories had anything to do with Clint.
Yeah, the thing is I think it might have been Clint and Brian got into some sort of trouble. Like maybe, you know, someone died accidentally and they didn't mean for it to happen, but it did. And basically something that it would ruin Brian's life if it got out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he basically felt like he had to leave in order to be okay, in order to have any kind of life afterward. And to protect his family and the people he loved, he wouldn't want to see that. And so then, you know, he might work with Clint, basically trying to change his appearance or whatever, to actually leave the bar undetected and just like kind of slip off into the night. And that would explain like why Clint wouldn't want to do a lie detector test.
Shining him in a better light.
Yeah. Well, and but also, you know, it would explain a bit more about his adamant, you know, stance that. And, you know, that would also mean that Brian is well and alive. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, accidents happen.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. I mean,
that's interesting.
I watch too many crime shows, apparently.
I am surprised that none of the popular theories, like, had anything to do with Clint, you know? Like, why none of them were like, Clint definitely had something to do with it.
Yeah, because none of them.
I find it interesting that he just kept refusing even years afterwards, and that his lawyer had to go as far as to get like a quote published in the school's, the university's newspaper,
right,
saying like, oh no, you know, he's then it's Brian's fault, you know, it's Brian's fault for being selfish right now and not coming forward.
Yeah,
that's, to me, that's a little like, thou doth protest too much.
A little bit,
you know.
I know, but also that's the lawyer.
I know, but like, as a lawyer, he should know what seems desperate, you know.
I mean, I can only imagine that Clint has been hounded about this like for years and years.
Yeah,
and so he just wants to be done with it. I mean, alternatively, like I was saying, Clint could just, you know, have had some business on that night that he didn't want being brought up, such as, you know, drugs or something, you know, met with a dealer, who knows.
Well, that's another theory that I actually read a little bit about. It kind of goes in with the he left the band and met with foul play. So a theory that I saw on Reddit, and I don't remember who posted it because I thought it was just too cockamamie to deal with. I just scanned
Right,
it literally is like a solid theory of what happened to Brian Schaefer, and then I was like, 2 seconds.
Solid after. Theory.
Solid. Huh. Uh-huh. So basically,
right.
So basically, their theory posed that Brian met with the girls outside to buy cocaine, and then was selling that cocaine to one of the band members, and then the band members like took him out or something. I don't know why. That's what I gathered, and I was like, what?
See, I don't peg Brian for one who would necessarily dirty his hands with that sort of thing.
He's a medical student.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot to lose in that moment.
Yeah, you got a lot to lose. And he was going on a trip soon. He was having a little break. And yeah, he's going through a bit with his mom and stuff, but it didn't seem like he didn't seem the type, you know? And I know they don't always seem the type, but who knows?
But yeah.
Who knows?
So yeah, my theory stands that, you know, he and that Clint
helped him disappear.
Yeah, that Clint helped him disappear. And also that I think it was something that caused Brian to disappear.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to hurt his family.
Yeah.
And the people.
I mean, I feel
loved.
Like it would have had to happen like really recent to that, because his book to Miami, like his book, his oh, flight no, to Miami is, yeah. had been booked like months in advance.
No, my theory is that it happened that night.
Oh.
Like something really bad happened that night.
Interesting. Well, his dad did say that he seemed like really exhausted from his exams or something. Maybe it happened the night before.
I mean, possibly. I don't. It's easy to be exhausted from exams, especially in medical school.
But I'm
my
saying
goodness.
Like, but I'm saying if something like what you know you're saying happened, maybe like the night before or something, like right after exams or something. Something happened. I don't know.
Right.
And then he went on his final like
last hurrah.
Yeah. His last hurrah with his dad. Had steak dinners and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then went out with his friend the next night, or the same night, later that night, to get obliterated, apparently.
Yeah.
And then disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Maybe that could have been why he seems so exhausted. Maybe something happened the night before.
Possibly.
Who knows?
Yeah, there's a lot that you know, can happen that we don't necessarily know.
I would like to think that Brian Schaefer is alive and well and mm-hmm. and you live in his Jimmy Buffett dreams, honestly. I would love that for him.
Yeah, but then that makes me feel bad for, like, the people who care about him and are worried.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd be better than if he was dead.
I mean, I guess.
You know? I'd rather him not be dead. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
For, like, some sad reason.
I do want to know. I mean, I watched too much Cold Case Files, you know, right after school. It was on right after school.
Same.
And I'd turn it on because I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. And then it, like, you know, goes back in time and, like, you can see what happened on the nights that these happened.
It started with Unsolved Mysteries, let's be honest, with our mom.
Yeah.
And Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, I know.
And then she'd also play Cold Case Files.
The first
and
48.
And Forensic Files, 48 Hours or whatever. Yeah. All of those shows. And then
Law and Order.
Law and Order. That was Law and Order SVU. All those good ones. All those good shows. Or Without a Trace.
Without a Trace. Oh, yeah.
Without a Trace. That's a good one. I want to watch that every so often. I really want to watch that show and I cannot find it anywhere for, like, streaming without paying for it, like, out the nose.
Is this us blaming our mom for our problems?
Not our problems, for our glistening personalities. Let me just tell you. But also, it starts there, you know, from childhood. And then, like, YouTube comes around and everybody's making videos about these real things that happen. And I'm like, wow, it's all obtainable.
And Death's at Disneyland.
And then Death's at Disneyland on Google. You know? we were destined.
And then
for
that branches out into Girl Scout crimes. And then that branches out into other things. Girl Scout crimes.
Maybe I'll cover that someday. That's dark, though. I try not to cover the dark,
Miranda! We talked about this in the, like, Ghosts of Our Past episode. And you used that as the stepping off point to tell a ghost story to your Girl Scout troop.
Yeah, but, like, that wasn't, like, to a wide audience.
Yeah, but it was, like, literal
murder.
They
didn't know anything about it. Shush. Anywho. So that's all I have for you. If you have any theories that you'd like to pose or any questions or concerns, let us know. You can email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You can also visit us on Instagram at matterthanacaterpillar.
Yeah, the gram. sorry, I needed to say that for some reason.
Why?
So you can also tweet at us at matterthanacat on Twitter. Miranda's been posting some really off the wall ominous
stuff.
You like that last one? I don't know. What did you last post? I haven't checked today.
You liked it, I think. It was the check in with your mom, your friend, or check in with your friends, your family, your niece's best friend's sister, your cousin's hamster that you haven't heard from since.
We like to be weird. We like to think we're funny. Sometimes neither is true, but hey, we're having a good time there.
I like it.
It's
check out our
bizarre.
Twitter.
It's great. So yeah, check it out. DM us if you have any questions, suggestions, want to be a guest on the show, let us know. We love hearing from you guys.
We do.
Another place we can hear from you is
Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's at ITYW podcast, or I'll tell you what, with a period instead of an ellipses.
Ooh, fancy. You can also come find us on TikTok if you want to just have some laughs. We got some good stuff coming.
Good chuckles. That nice solid clip of me forgetting
or not realizing how the Vietnam War worked.
It's on there. You can use it. The audio has some great potential, let me tell you.
Yes, I
will say it's very a la BuzzFeed Unsolved audio to me. You know, I have that. I feel like that kind of energy happening.
I like it.
If
we can get to that level with, like, all of our banter, I would absolutely love
that. For some reason, when I'm the host, you're not fun. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I love you.
She says that like she doesn't tell me to shut up and listen.
It's because you just bring up really weird things.
That's the fun part of it.
Oh my goodness.
I'm bizarre. And you're Miranda.
I'm bizarre. And you're annoying. Just kidding.
We're sisters and we love each other much. But yeah, come find us.
Sisterly banter.
Come find us on TikTok at Madder Than a Caterpillar. We'd love to have you.
Yes. You can also, if you want to, you can donate to us.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing now.
If you like.
I keep forgetting that I set that up.
Yeah. You could go to our Anchor page and do that there. Or there's also a link in the description.
Yeah. We're hoping to get a little Patreon page set up before too long here.
Yes. I have some questions for you about that one. Sorry,
now
that was
I'm
much
afraid.
More, that was more aggressive than I meant for it to be.
What did I do? Jeez.
You exist. No, I'm just kidding. I'm yeah, that's fair. Today. It's because I had to go to work. Anywho, without further ado, tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
I don't want to say anything because now everything would be morbid and like not appropriate.
And tell Jimmy Buffett. Who's
there you go. And tell Jimmy Buffett, cheeseburger in paradise. And good night.
Anticipating it just me. I was expecting the closet bit again. Nope. No, it was just
the
telling
one and only time that I won't do the closet bit.
Okay. Nope. Let's just tweet at him. At Jimmy Buffett. Cheeseburger in paradise.
Everybody, you hear that? At Jimmy Buffett, cheeseburger in paradise. Okay, bye.